Hey, Homelanders, welcome back. You are watching the after show on AfterBuzz for Homeland Episode 7, Imminent Risk. Who's at risk? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There it goes. Yeah, there it goes. That's the cue.
And I always wait for like the saxophone music. We're just coming right now.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This episode.
Yeah. So.
Carrie, ugly cry face. Numerous times.
And as I always say in every episode, just remember, drink up.
But what a performance by Claire Danes. Like, reminding us again why she's so good.
Yeah, she is.
Amazing.
Hey guys, welcome back. You are watching the after show for Homeland Episode 7,
yes.
Imminent Risk. I'm your host, Rick Hong, and you can find me at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-O-N-G, and I'm joined by Leslie Corral.
Yes, and you can find me at Leslita Face on Instagram and Twitter.
All right, so as Leslie and I just talked about, yes, we have seen numerous scenes tonight of crying Carrie face, and
yes.
I always tell people that's when you should drink up like she kind of did tonight.
I mean, that was tough. That was absolutely tough to watch. lots of big things this episode.
Oh, yeah, and we kind of finally figured out who the... We got some major confirmation of who the mastermind is.
I mean... That's what I've been thinking the whole time. Huge conspiracy and our doll. Just the evil man in the corner.
But usually he's like a part-time menace or an antagonist throughout the series. In this one, he's like the evil.
Every corner, he's like coming at Carrie, coming at the president, messing with Quinn's head. Like, just, man, when does this man sleep?
All right, so, last week we left off and we see Quinn being kidnapped.
Yes.
Not kidnapped, but just drugged up. You know, we think, what's going to happen to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then we find out that it's his old, you know, ex or lover or friend, Astrid, that actually has him.
Yeah, and that's how we start this episode. Yeah, he's waking up confused.
I don't know what they gave him, but, you know,
yeah.
I know, like, anytime you come out of some sort of drug-induced, you know, sedative or something, you're very, very groggy.
Yes. My first instinct when he wakes up is he's like, you know, exactly what Quinn's thinking. Where am I? What's happening? And Astrid's like, oh, you know, just take it easy. You know, they said... for you to do this, this, and that. And then my head, I was like, who is they? Because I'm sure that's what Quinn's thinking. Like, who are these doctors? Who has him here?
Yep.
His mind's going and my mind's going at the same time.
Yeah, and he goes, he's like, so where am I? And she's, oh, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Thanks, that helps us. I mean, and clearly he wasn't happy with that answer either, as we saw down the line.
You know, and Quinn still being laser focused, he still reminds Astrid, you know, don't let me forget. He's still trying to get to Carrie or talk to Carrie or get back to New York or...
And pretty soon into the she kind of reveals, like, wait, no, this is the deal we have with Dar. And then it's like right away, it's like, of course.
So, but it's good for us to know, you know, how she showed up.
Yeah.
You know, was it, because last week I think we talked about.
We were just like, what the hell?
How did she show up?
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And was it because, you know, he was on TV and the footage from the shooting? Is that where she showed up? Why did she show up? Who is she in cahoots with? So now, exactly. So number one, we know it's Dar Dal.
Yeah. And then slowly, you know, we're getting revelations as to why he was taken. What was Dar Dal's motivation? I feel like Astrid doesn't even realize. I think he's essentially just using her, like, as a way for Quinn to feel like some level of safety or comfort because this is his friend, when really, you know, I don't.
Well, you know, and he's also, because of what he's been through, he's also kind of like a wild card. So when you're a wild card, I think you've got to give them something, somebody familiar.
Yeah.
You know, so that they at least kind of know, okay, I'm not being screwed with by some stranger. I've got some
token of security.
Yeah. Or familiarity with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's, it's like, I think that's actually a good move that she showed up. Although,
I mean, I don't know if it's a good move because I feel like Dar keeping Quinn away, doing all of this, and I mean, before the end of the episode, essentially trying to turn him against Carrie, you know, he wouldn't have gotten him even to this point without her. And that's why I feel like she's just being used. I don't even think she knows the extent of what Dar's motives are here.
And I guess we're maybe, hopefully, you know, we're at episode 7. There's 12 episodes in this season.
Yeah.
So we're just over the halfway mark.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe we'll see how that plays out and see where Astrid's loyalties lie. Let's come back to
the revelations at the end of the episode.
So, okay.
Carrie.
Yeah, so, like, okay, so now, okay, so we go from, like, Quinn understanding where he's at, why he's where he is, and they open up, you know, just like, as we saw last week, Carrie was fearful for her life, her daughter's life, everything going around her. Max was there.
Yes.
And so, of course, what do? You install security.
Which, you know, I found kind of ironic. Since the first season, it's been Carrie and cameras, installing cameras in Brody's apartment, looking at cameras, finding footage. You would think that, you know, an ex-CIA spy would have already had cameras in her own home. I just feel like Carrie and her back history, it's almost kind of funny that she hasn't had that yet, especially when she has been a target before, maybe not necessarily with Franny, but, you know, I would want... I don't know. I found that kind of funny.
No, I didn't even think about it, and I don't disagree with you in a sense. I also think that maybe... It's kind of one of those things, like a fresh start.
Yeah.
I'm out of that type of business, so I shouldn't remind myself of things that I should be paranoid about.
Yeah.
And also giving some stability towards her daughter's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can't imagine being a kid in this day and age, if you're in a house, although there are such things as nanny cams, but I think it would be bizarre if you're a kid and, like, you're looking up and, like, you see this camera on you, though I'm sure she would have it in some back
room. But there are more and more homes now that have them, you know. And you can find all the rooms on your phone on apps. Like, it's not so, like, crazy anymore. It's more
accessible. No, it isn't. You're right.
And she clearly, you know, off the bat expresses her distrust of the police and why she doesn't want to go to them, to Max. And
well, clearly, because if these...
I don't trust them either.
Yeah, well, if these people, this, you know, this private sector company can get to Conlon, who's an FBI agent, a CIA agent, you know, getting to police... That shouldn't be a problem at all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, and then quickly, you know, things go downhill. Oh, she gets the call. Come down to the school right away.
Which, you know, which was a... I kind of didn't quite expect that. I mean, it actually does make sense that, you know, a child services type person would call to say, you know, hey, there's this thing going on. So, but I didn't exactly expect it to see it in this series.
Okay, so we'll break it down. But can I just say, over the top, I hate that CIA lady. Or the C...
The child services lady?
Yes, the child services lady. Oh my gosh, did I hate her. And every single scene she came up, it just made me hate her worse. Because...
Yeah, and I think what we're going to do is we're kind of just going to go over just like that whole evolution of the child services tonight.
Because just like the audience, Carrie sort of just gets bits of information slowly. And I felt like that in itself felt very shady. It felt very like this woman didn't tell Carrie off the bat everything that's happening. She kind of sort of wanted to ascertain information from her first before even giving her the full picture. At first, she's just like, oh, hey, let's have a seat and let's talk.
You know, and see, what sucks is normally, you know, as a parent, you don't ever want to have your child kept from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a parent. That's the thing. It's like, I totally related to Carrie in this episode. I'm not a parent, but I can only imagine that you don't want your child being kept from you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be accused of not caring about your child or doing something that's, you know, dangerous or harmful to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we start seeing her rage.
Well, okay, she's called by the teacher who's like, oh, you know, we just need you to come. She doesn't know what she's walking into. And this woman, instead of telling, I don't know, it felt almost unfair for her not to tell her, you know, your daughter's not here anymore. Before, all of a sudden, she's just like, let me pull information from you. Like, you know, this is happening here, this is happening there. And then she's like, oh, well, let's finish this conversation at my office. And then by the end of the conversation, she's like, well, do you have a lawyer? And I'm
she made claims saying that Franny was traumatized. And then hence the whole title for this episode, Imminent Risk. You know, that's what was going on here.
But my thing is, she could have, I don't know, I felt like she wasn't forthright. Like, the second Carrie walked into the office or something, they could have been like, okay, here's the deal. This is what's happened. You know, we've removed Franny, you need a lawyer, but let's talk about this. Instead of, like, I don't know, it almost felt like she was playing her.
Or, it seemed more definitely accusatory as opposed to, I'm just trying to get the facts.
Yeah, it felt like she was playing her, and before she gave her, like, the second Carrie walked into that room with her at the school, this woman knew that she was had lost her daughter and was going to face a court date, where all of a sudden Carrie's just like, oh, I'm just going to talk to this woman and I'm sure my daughter's in the other room. And then slowly, I don't know, it just felt like, it felt really cruel the way she slowly divulged this information, which made me just really dislike this woman.
Yeah, like she tells her that what her daughter was like fearing for her life, you know, and that's, you know, meanwhile, Carrie's at home with her daughter. And her daughter's not telling her this stuff.
Yeah. So as soon as the woman told Carrie, oh, your daughter told me that she was afraid for her life, the second she said that, in my head, I thought, conspiracy. I know. I'm like, is this just her doing her job? It just flamed in my head because we saw, and I think the show made a point to show us, that the girl was comfortable with Quinn. Mm-hmm. She, like, had names. Like, oh, are you going to eat this? You know, is Quinn going to be okay? Like, you know, and for her all of a sudden to be like, I'm terrified of him, it almost made me, like, it made me not, I'm not saying she didn't do it, but it made me doubt this woman. I was like, I almost feel like, and then it ended up being true. She was being fed information by Dar.
And there were points, too. It's hard to figure out what was actually truth in terms of, like, you know, did Franny really say this or that? But I'll still say that in some ways, I do understand, as a little kid, all of a sudden, you've got people throwing rocks.
Yeah.
He has a gun. He's shooting a gun. He's telling her, you know, you can't go anywhere with the, you know, and the nanny is like trying to be like, dude, I want to leave here.
He's
like, no, you cannot go. So I can see a little bit of the turn, but she still talked to her mom. Carrie seemed to have talked her through it.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I totally get it. Franny said, I was scared. Maybe she said she was scared for her life, but I feel like this one. She made it seem as though Franny had always been afraid of Quinn, like, ever since he's been living in her house. And I don't think that's the case.
Right.
And I feel like they kind of took things that Franny said and, like, were twisting it because maybe she's already getting all of this information that, oh, Carrie, you know, is unstable. She's had all these, you know, things in her past. And, you know what I mean? She's letting this man, you know, give her a blind spot. And it felt awful. And on top of that, because this woman wasn't forthright with Carrie right away, she's kind of like letting Carrie hang herself. She's like, well, why do you have this man in your office and or in your home, and, you know, what did you do that day? Instead of, you know what I mean, like, let me get my lawyer first and let's talk about the best way to present the information that doesn't make me look terrible.
Yeah.
And she didn't get a chance to do that.
Well, and see, what was strange is, so they kind of have this, you know, mutual conversation at the office.
Yeah.
Then when we go to, they're actually in court in front of the judge, she really just starts hanging her and you know, and Carrie's sitting there telling her, what? I told you about this. I told you about that. And then she starts bringing up all these extra things of, you've got...
It felt so under the belt.
Yeah.
Like, not even giving them a heads up that, oh, we're going to pull out the fact that she's diagnosed with bipolar, that she's had shock treatment, that she's done this and that. And it's like,
and that she had the whole, like, you know, she didn't even ask her about the whole gun.
Yeah.
Sleeping with the gun thing, and she just decided to pop it up in, you know, in front of the judge.
I'm still skeptical about that. Maybe Franny did say it, or maybe the guy that's spying on Carrie saw it.
See, that's what I was. See, that's what I was wondering too. Is obviously if he's been spying the whole time, he doesn't necessarily have to be across the street.
Yeah,
but he's definitely going to clearly know that she's going to try to protect her home on some front. So,
oh my gosh, just that scene in the court. And then when the judge was asking Carrie, like, you know, well, why didn't you call the cops? And it's like, well, because she's an ex-CIA spy. She can handle herself. I don't think in her head, like, I'm not to insult police, and that's not she was trying to do either. But she felt like she was capable. You know what I mean?
And I thought that
there's a layer of this trust.
And I thought that she did a good recovery without having to sit there and tell the judge exactly the real reason. But instead, she, like, it almost looked like,
I'm a badass and I don't need one, essentially.
Yeah, or just like, she took a second and was like, let me think about how I'm going to deliver this piece of information. And then she said, well, you know, I've been trained and I'm smart and these are the situations that I used to be in. So, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier about cameras being in her house.
Yes. And
prior,
I feel like,
anyways.
And it's so crazy how this whole storyline, people retelling the facts, like, it's very creepy as far as, like, how the narrative starts to change, how the story starts to change. The CPS worker was like, well, you know, there were people and cameras outside your house because he was holding her hostage. Kind of like that's what sparked the crowds and the cameras, when we know that's not the case. And Carrie tried to explain that, but that was sort of lost. And now moving forward, she's going to say, oh, you know, he started holding them hostage and that's why the crowds came. And it was all him. And again, so why did she bring this man into her house? Everything to make her look bad, essentially.
And then she even said, you know, I've eliminated you know, that cause. Like, I got, you know, Quinn's not in the home anymore. Mm-hmm. My daughter's safe again. You know, I've taken the necessary precautions that I'm supposed to in this type of situation.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. I just felt so much for Carrie in that scene.
Yeah, and so this is where we start seeing, you know, crying Gary face.
Yeah, and it sucks because, you know, in front of the judge, in front of everyone, she wants to keep her composure, but kind of like what she said in the beginning, you know, this is bullshit. Like, that sucks. Like, all of a sudden, she's blindsided with this. And I get that, you know, the CPS people are trying to do their job. There's concern there. But to me, it feels more abrupt taking her away so suddenly without any kind of warning, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And putting her in a stranger's house. And it's just, I felt so bad. I like felt so bad for Carrie. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, this sucks so much.
All right. So we'll kind of move on from like that, yeah, like part of the episode. And let's move into, you know, we see, let's like, I'm trying to figure out if we want to see like, let's, well, we see Javidi come into town.
Yes. Okay. So that whole thing was kind of crazy. He comes in and there's people.
Yeah, so he's at the airport. There's, yeah, a protest. And so then, like, I noticed it. I don't know if some people noticed. Did you notice, like, Nate, the young, ambitious guy from last week?
Mm.
I believe his name was Nate.
Okay.
You know, that was, like, you know, gave all that information to Saul. Mm. So he was, yes, at the airport, yes, and watched him come in. And, like, you know, and I didn't even think he tells Saul later when he sees Saul. Like, I gave him the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that was my understanding that which Saul arranged for him to come.
Which is now the ticket to the hockey game is what I realized.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, his little arc in this episode escalated quickly because he doesn't go where he's supposed to go. He's sort of kidnapped, essentially, and tortured. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
And see, that's a little scary
and
because...
And then he loses a nail! And it all happened so fast. I was like, what? What?
Well, it's funny, too, is that he's like, sitting in this, like, I'm imagining this awesome, like, pool or, like, very big hot tub, chilling.
Mm-hmm, chilling.
And you see a woman get up, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, he's got some, you know, good things going on there.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a scary guy shows up, and you see Javidi just, you know, immediately, like, getting dressed and going out with him. And, right, it's like a 180. He's, yes, relaxing in a hot tub. He's in America. Mm-hmm. He's got his hot lady, you know, or whatever she is. Maybe he's at a brothel. I don't know. And then, yeah, now he's in a dark room getting his hands taped down.
Yeah.
You know, and being called a traitor.
Yeah, being asked, interrogated, all of these questions. And one, you know, loyal person ends up being his saving grace.
So here's my question.
And boy, does that bite him in the butt later.
So clearly we know that when he's pulling the tools out, something's bad. It's supposed to be happening to Jafidi. So, mm-hmm, he has the tool. He starts going for his hand. What did you actually think was going to happen before it happened?
I hadn't registered, like, because as soon as the nail came off, I was like, oh. Like, I didn't expect that. I don't know what.
See,
I was expecting.
I thought that he was going to, like, chop the finger off or something, or, like, cut a tip off. And that's why I was like, oh. And then, I mean, I can only imagine that it does hurt to get your, you know, your finger.
Yeah.
I mean, that can hurt. I'm sure that
hurts
like a... I guess
it's lesser, but...
But I thought that he was going to cut a fingertip off.
I feel like I was just absorbing it, and I didn't go that far ahead, because all of a sudden I was already shocked by the finger. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It just happened so fast for me, because I feel like I don't know. He really was just in a minute, just by the pool. I was like, oh man, you know, they're showing off his chest. I was just like, you know, they're spending time on him here. And then all of a sudden.
Yeah. And so he has an old, like a loyal soldier, this guy named Amir Bastami, mm-hmm, show up and saves him. And he explains that to him,
yes,
and says, hey, you know what? I was with you in one of our wars.
You showed kindness to my family.
Yeah. And you always said that there's nothing that you wouldn't do. You wouldn't make us do that you wouldn't do. And he went off and got a goat and fed his troops. And so this guy, but I don't know where this guy was really like watching him. You know,
I don't know either.
That was kind of the weird thing.
He came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Until he explained it. And then I know I'm jumping ahead, but that sucks. He kills him later.
Well, okay. So, all right. So from there,
because I felt like that moment and became so much more important because what happens later.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So from there, then we see that, clearly Javidi trusts nobody
because
he came here on, you know, he came here thinking that I'm okay. So he trusts nobody. And, Saul is,
he ends up meeting up with Saul later.
Yeah. I believe he's either at a Rangers game or an Islanders game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and I noticed how, like, the whole code word, mm-hmm, was Sergeant Brody.
Yeah, that was kind of, I was like, oh my gosh. It took me a second, I was like, what?
No, yeah, and something we haven't heard, I mean, we've talked about it on the show.
It took me a second to realize it was, like, code, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of, I was like, what?
Because we've talked about it on the show, but I mean, or like here on AfterBuzz, but on the show itself, I mean, I can't imagine they've talked about Brody in a couple years. And, yeah. you know, imagine there was even a couple years, I think, in between when Carrie was like last yes. a part of, you know, CIA and then when she became a civilian. So even more kind of years in between of being able to hear Brody's name.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Oh, gosh. I felt so bad for that guy. I was like, you know, he did a good thing. He saved him. And what does he get?
Okay. Thanks for that. So then he takes Saul to go meet up with Javidi. And Javidi's like, what the hell, man?
What
is going on? You know, I got this guy. Yeah. He's like torturing me. What's, you know, and they find out slowly but surely Dara Dahl's name.
He was like, who's pops the only up? Person who knows?
So this is the second time in this episode where we see Dara Dahl pop up. Mm-hmm. We see him pop up with, in his, at least his name pops up in the beginning with Astrid. Mm-hmm. And now he also pops up in, you know, the conversation this between conversation. Saul and Javidi.
Yes.
And now Javidi is like, okay, put me in pretty much protective custody.
Yeah.
And I'll do whatever you need me to do, mm-hmm. but I need to protect it. And this is when Saul, and this is how we kind of see Saul start playing out. And he's like, I will go to the president-elect.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get you asylum, political asylum, and see what we can do to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to do that, you know, Jafidi shows him the picture, the dead picture yeah. of Narfisi, mm-hmm. who we saw earlier yeah. in the season that had the cigarette packs. And clearly he was not a double agent, but just more, he played Saul. He yeah. was actually a Mossad agent himself. And so he played Saul. And so now we see that this guy's, at least pictures of him dead. Saul asks for video footage of mm-hmm. him dead. So that ball kind of starts rolling. Yeah. That ball kind of starts rolling for Jafidi. And clearly he's going to be playing out more in these next couple episodes. Yeah. I really wasn't sure when he first showed up how integral he was going to be in this season.
I agree. And I feel like there with this show, there's so many great characters. So many great characters. Like, you start to feel a little sympathetic for him, and then you realize, oh, this guy is not as good as, you know what I mean? There's so much gray. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, and then there was a scene earlier where, and the reason I want to bring it up is because I've been asking this every few episodes, is who is the mole that's leaking the information to Dar? So we see Dar is listening to the president-elect mm-hmm. giving a speech about, you know, as things happen in the news, you know, once somebody says something, then the news wants to get in there and ask more questions. And so the news is there talking to
the president-elect about the son. Sit-down interview, and she's saying, you know, I've never been ashamed of him. I want to make sure that people don't get that impression. We had disagreements, which I found interesting. She was very forthright in saying we weren't in a good place when he died. He was critical of her being critical of the war. And while Dar's watching all of this,
so we see the actor Robert Knepper, and Robert Knepper is awesome. He's in Prison Break. I love every time he pops up. I don't remember or recall seeing him this season yet. Yeah. I could be wrong with that, but him popping up again, you know, he's talking, he's having the conversation, and clearly he knows what's going on. So mm-hmm. I was thinking, is he the mole? You know,
but who is he?
Or is he part of the private sector company, like yeah. the head, like one of the head honcho guys?
Which they were missing from this episode. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Also, have to point out, Dar called her the C word under his breath when he was watching the interview. Like, seriously, it just makes me think, what a jackass! Not only are you just this evil guy doing all this stuff, but you're just like a jerk, like calling her I don't even like saying the word. Oh, like, they just did everything this episode to make me dislike him.
You know, the funny thing is I watch this episode, and sometimes I'll watch episodes in subtitles. That actually didn't pop up. I heard it, but they actually didn't write it in the subtitles.
No, I like looked it up. I was like, was that just me who heard that? Yeah, he said that. Oh, Dar.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for Robert Knepper. Uh-huh. He doesn't, as far as I know, he wasn't given a name yet, but he's probably going to unwind in the next few episodes, or is going to be hopefully like a more major player. I mean, he's a great actor, so I imagine that they brought him in for a good purpose.
Yes. Speaking of Mole, and again, this is just a stray observation. When Carrie and the CPS worker were at the school still, before they went to her office, they were talking, and this guy comes in, and he's just like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, the random
random guy comes in.
The substitute teacher, or not substitute teacher, but just, it's like a faculty.
And then he leaves. And it might have been nothing, but in my head, I was like, why did they make a point that someone walked in and left? I don't know. Again, it might be nothing, but I'm just like, every time the show makes a point of showing random people, I always take note. Because, again, thinking about Mole and thinking about people who are in on, you know, this thing with Dar. And that was just suspicious. Like, randomly, they threw in that scene. Someone walks in and interrupts and then leaves. I don't know. I just found that kind of sketch.
And then what I... You know, at some point in the episode too, we see that Saul again gets kind of harassed, you know, right. to get debriefed, and you know,
yeah,
the director of counterintelligence is like, hey, you know what, we need to ask you some questions about mm-hmm. what you were doing.
Yes.
You know, and he's like, I was having, you know, staying at my sister's, hanging out. And they're like, okay, well, we got to go through this procedure and give us your phone.
Yes, all of that was sketch. So yeah, and I was noticing that this was happening kind of parallel. Like Carrie was almost essentially getting interrogated, but not really. Oh, let's just ask you questions. Saul, essentially getting interrogated, but oh no, we're just debriefing you. I was noticing those parallels. And, you know, both of them are in the dark about the situation they're actually in. And yeah, he's just like, what's the problem? You know, I already said what this is. And then she's just like, oh, well, yeah, essentially saying we don't believe you and we're going to need to check your phone. And in my head, I was like, oh, don't give him the phone. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's covered his tracks. I'm sure he has, but...
And then, you know, Shady McMaster, Dara Dahl.
Yeah, and then it also reminded me when the president had to give up her phone and essentially give up. Like, he's good at putting, Dara is, like, putting all these people in these vulnerable situations where they literally have no connection and they're just stuck in this room having to answer to someone else.
Yeah. And Dara is starting to show kind of his true colors mm-hmm. that is, as was brought up in last week's episode, too, that... Dar can't be trusted by Saul.
No, he
can't.
And
they start talking, and you basically Saul kind of gives Dar this look. Like, Dar's like, oh, I'm so sorry about this and that. And Saul basically is giving this look like, don't bullshit a bullshitter.
No, and he even said, he was like, I know nobody would be doing this without your knowledge of it. Like, stop acting like, oh, I'm coming in and stopping this. I didn't even know this was happening. Ugh. But it sucks because didn't Saul said something at the end? Like, well, I don't think Dar, like when he said he's the only one who knew, but I don't think he's in on this. Like, he knows what Dark is capable of, but I feel like he still gives him the benefit of the doubt, which is like, it sucks. He shouldn't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't fully seen, and I don't even know if we've quite fully seen Dar's intentions.
Yeah.
His full intentions, which brings us back again to Quinn.
Yes.
You know, Quinn trying to get back to the States, and my thing
runs
is,
away.
Yeah, so in my I honestly thought, because like in the beginning of the episode we saw him looking out the window, so I figured he would have mm-hmm. just gone down by the dock and was hanging out by the lake and just, you know, absorbing it in. I didn't realize he would actually be running along the street trying to hitchhike in 2017. You know, I don't know who actually picks up hitchhikers anymore.
Right. And again, it was bringing me parallels to when they took the president-elect away and she was driving down, like, the streets. Like, again, like, all these people keep trying to escape these little holes or boxes that he puts them in.
And there's always a truck. There's always, like, a pickup
yes,
truck.
And trees and, like, yeah. This road. Oh, my gosh. But he doesn't get far.
Well, it's he doesn't get far because clearly he does sound off. You know, he sounds bonkers or off, mm. you know. Mm-hmm. As she said, he's off of his meds and
yeah.
everything. And, yeah, I mean, if you decided to, for some reason, pick up somebody and they started rambling like
yeah.
you, and then you see the same person next to them, would you do the same thing and be like, okay, you know what? Never mind.
I know. Exactly. Of course. I wouldn't even pull over for a hitchhiker. I get too, like,
yeah, in the same
too
way.
Scary. But, oh man, Quinn. And then later, when Dar comes over, okay, that, there's a lot of stuff we need to discuss
here. Yes, this, yeah, there's, now we're getting down to, like, the wire
Dar's
of the episode, and this is huge.
With Quinn. So first he tells, you know, Astrid, he was like, oh, thank you. Couldn't have done this without you. La, 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 la. Let me talk to him. And,
right, and of course, Dar's like, no, let me talk to him by myself.
Yes. Lots of motivations going in there. But first thing he says is quit feeling sorry for yourself. You know, that's not like you. That was the first thing I liked about you.
So here's something weird.
Yes. And then Quinn said no.
Well, also,
that's not the first thing.
Did they have like some sort of weird relationship?
That's exactly what I think this episode implied. I think so.
Because he said you're a dirty old man. And, you know, and he alluded to the fact that he liked pretty boys, even though I don't know if we've ever actually gone into,
I don't think we have,
Daradal sexuality ever in the whole series, or if it's ever mattered, but it sounds like they might have had. Please tell us what you think. I'm dying to see that in the comments for sure. Because the way that I interpreted it is they must have had, as Peter was going through the ranks, had some sort of a weird relationship that wasn't
platonic. I saw it was, okay, so they have said that they got Quinn very young. I feel like Dar molested him. I feel like that's what happened.
But Dar also said, I never did anything.
Yeah, but Dar don't trust anything. I feel like he got
shady.
Him young.
You're right. He's shady.
No, I feel like he got him young, and Quinn was probably very like, you know, this guy's helping me. I'm just going to let him. Because he doesn't seem happy about, I feel like Dar's proud of the fact that he said like, oh, I never forced myself. But I mean, did you still sort of coerce with the fact that you're older, you're offering this person, you know, all these things and they're young and impressionable?
Yeah, exactly. The young and impressionable part was what I was kind of thinking
too. This episode made me hate Dar on so many levels.
But I've always hated Dar. I've said that since episode one, that I've hated that guy. And I'm wondering if he's actually going to get his by the end, but that's later on for sure.
Yeah, I hated him like as far as like all, but not now. I'm like, ooh, dude, you're just like a gross, I don't know, on every level person. Yeah, I feel like, I think that's what they were doing. I mean, please tell us what you guys got from that conversation. But, and then it made me feel more bad for Quinn. I'm like, oh my God, this kid was molested or who knows what happened. And then it makes me think, because he was talking about like, I don't understand your obsession with Carrie. What? You've always had this fixation. It's almost kind of
But he's also comparing. He's also saying not only just Quinn, but Saul. So he's like saying, what is it about this girl that makes every guy go goo goo gaga?
But it also made me think, like, what if also Dar's always seen Quinn as his? And that's also why he's got this thing coming after Carrie, because he doesn't like, I don't know. There's creepiness there for sure, I think, as far as. And then essentially in this conversation, he turns, I don't know if he does, but he attempts to turn Quinn against Carrie.
Well, he drops the reason that you're in this state is because of Carrie. And that's something that she neglected to tell you.
Yeah. Which I feel like he kind of makes it seem like a different situation. Carrie always was concerned about his health. It's not like, oh yeah, we're going to do this just for the sake of getting information. There's also the risk of leaving him in a coma. It was a different situation. I felt like it wasn't as black and white as the way he presented it.
Right, exactly. It's very, there's a very gray area for all of it. I mean, because, you know, at that point, you know, the world was at risk, or like New York, or I think New York was at risk, or I don't think that was even New York. It was a different country. But yeah, the city was at risk. So, you know, like that's what you're going to do. I mean, that's why you sign up. Mm-hmm. I mean, Quinn clearly knew that. That's like the letter that he kind of wrote to her too. He's like, I know the type of business that I got myself into. But also Quinn not being himself, you know,
he's still distrusting of Carrie.
Yeah. Well, they talked about rage, depression. He couldn't say the word caller.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that someone like Dar manipulating or saying these things could actually even absorb more into,
and he's paranoid.
not 100%, you know,
but don't trust Dar. Come on.
Yeah. Like, we all know that.
Nothing he says at all. Let's dissect for a second what Dar's done. He has literally like stripped away all the layers of Carrie. He made her look professionally, you know, stupid, and he kind of like ruined her reputation there because she represented this supposed terrorist. He took away her daughter, the guy who loves her. He's making her turn against him. Like, he's literally attacking her at every corner. It's crazy.
And did you see the scene where Dar is actually on the phone with the neighbor? Yeah, he was on the phone. He was on the phone with the, I'm trying to figure out.
When did that happen? I feel like.
It's, let's see, hold on. Being tracked by the neighbor. So it was after Jafidi like gets pulled from the pool. But there's a scene that where Dar is like on the phone and he said it's done or like whatever. And it's the actual neighbor with his like little stocking cap on. It's a really brief scene. And so like that's another revelation part that, okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
So there's Quinn. So he's in some cahoots with the neighbor mm-hmm. or that strange company.
Yes.
Which I think, which how Robert Knepper, also who guest starred tonight, is a part of. And right now he's, and now we see kind of towards the final, sorry, yeah. the final end of it is Carrie pretty much losing it.
Yeah. So she goes home and drinks after her terrible, you know, day in court, loses her daughter.
Which I would have done the same thing. I would have said, hey, where can I go grab my drink? Although, but she's on medication.
I know. I was like, don't do it. I get why you want to do it, but don't do it. And then I was like, you know, with her luck, you know, child services will knock on her door right then and there and be like, oh, are you sober? Or
I was hoping she was going to go for the chocolate milk.
And then she makes a phone call.
Oh, this is what you do. You're on like prescription meds. You get drunk, and what do? You drunk dial the president elect. I loved it. Just I was like, worst. Wow.
And essentially, like, you know, asks the president, "Hey, help me get my daughter." In no less words, and the president's like, "I can't do that. That's a personal issue." And Carrie's like, goes for the jugular. Like, you know how it feels. You lost a child as well.
And see, what's interesting to me is that, granted, she herself has been thrown some shade, mm-hmm. but you know how Dara was saying, well, Carrie, we found out that Carrie Matheson did all these things to release Sekou, and he's mm-hmm. the one that released the bomb. So I wasn't even sure if the president-elect was going to take Carrie's phone call for that reason, mm-hmm. because they haven't really had that conversation yet to say,
whether
hey,
she's
Carrie,
still on her good side.
Yeah. Whether she fully, as she did in the beginning, used her as an advisor, now to say, now you're associated with a bomber and I don't know all the other details.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even sure if she was even going to take the phone call.
I was happy. I agree. I was doing the same thing. I was happy when she took the call, but then it sucks because I get why Carrie did it, obviously. Like, you know, you feel like you're rock bottom. You lost your daughter. I'm not a parent, so I don't know what that must feel like. But I would say, yeah, hell yeah, use all the resources you have. But not like that. Don't drunk call her in the middle of the night. You know, go and see her in person and ask her in the most diplomatic and polite way possible, is there anything you can do to help? I feel like I get why she has to at least ask. I mean,
well, because at desperate times, people are going to do desperate things.
Yes, but
do it.
That's just like the worst way you can do it. Like, now, for sure, she's not going to help you at all.
Right.
Or at least she could have been like, oh, you know, if she goes and talks to her face to face, nice, you know, sober, can you at least tell me where she is so I know she's safe, peace of mind, you know, something. But now you just made her pissed off at you.
Yeah, and then it closes with, you know, you find out that Dar has been the one masterminding the child services thing, too, to screw with Carrie. Like, he warned her and said, you know, when they're having that big confrontation, he was, like, saying, back down, little girl. And she's like, no, you back down. And now her whole world is starting to crumble.
And that whole scene happened in front of Franny's school. You know, it's, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that woman, oh, I hate her so much. I just don't like her. I was so mad at her. She was just like, oh, you know, I hate taking a child from her mother, but, you know, this, I was like,
okay, so, which leads us into predictions. There we go. Any lights? Yes, predictions. There we go. So, predictions for what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh. I got to think for a second. Okay, so, I feel like Dar is going to, he wants something from Carrie. Right? Or he, because I'm trying to figure out, why is he doing all of this? Was it really just to get her out of the president's ear? That seems like it's not enough of a reason.
Okay, so your prediction is a little bit that there's still something more deeper than just getting her away from the president.
Yeah, I feel like Dar wants some.
He's got a deeper agenda.
Yes, and maybe he'll approach her directly and come to her almost as like an ally and be like, oh, look, you're in this crap, you know, do this or do that, and you know what I mean? He has an end goal, and I don't know what that is, but, you know, maybe he'll reveal it soon. Carrie. Yeah.
Okay. I think for me, it's seeing what happens with, like, a deeper, we see more between Astrid and Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that and see maybe if Quinn can be like, you know, if he can get Astrid on his side and get back to Carrie.
As opposed to being
out in the middle of nowhere.
And I think he will. And I, you know, as much as Dart tries to put, you know, all these shadows of doubt, I think at the end of the day, you know, I really believe, like, Quinn will have Carrie's back. Like, he knows that she does care about him. It's not just guilt or whatever. And he's going to have her back. And like I said, maybe get Astrodon aside and get something happening. I don't know. But we still don't know what's going to happen with that company. They were absent from this episode, so that's somewhere in there. And yeah, I don't know. I still feel like there's people out there working with Dar or that we don't know yet. There's still other pieces of the puzzle we haven't seen.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Leslie, where can they find you?
You can find me at LeslieTaFace on Twitter and Instagram. How about you?
And you guys, you can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, R-I-C-K-H-U-N-G. Thanks for watching. And
yes.
We'll be back with next week with episode 8. I don't know what the title is, but...
And send us your thoughts during the week. We'd love hearing about it. There's a lot of stuff this episode, so please send away.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.